Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, patriots, friends, and lovers of liberty to Radio Free Readout. Welcome to all of you across the American Readout. Welcome, fellow patriots across the country in 34 states. And welcome to our listeners and blog visitors from Canada, Malaysia, Romania, Sweden, Australia, Germany, United Kingdom, Switzerland, and Ghana. Huh, I'm not kidding. Wow. Glad to have you with us. This thing is just getting crazy. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and tonight we've got a lot of ground to cover. So much, in fact, that we will most likely not be able to get through it all. We told you last week that this topic, the police state in America, would be a three-part series on the subject, including martial law. But there's too much to cover. So we're going to push the topic of martial law back 1 week, dedicating three shows to the topic of the police state this week, subtitled A Nation of Informants. It's a trademark mechanism of police states from across the world with enough historical data on the topic to sink a battleship or produce a year's worth of broadcasts. But first, just this last week, we added a feature to the blog, off to the left, that says support Radio Free Readout. And that's for financial contributions for anyone who felt like supporting us in our effort to promote the American Readout movement and to be a voice to help equip, inform, connect, and encourage those in the American Readout, those who are moving here, and those who are staying put wherever you may be, with hopes of being a part of the many readouts that will emerge in the future. We have a vision for the future for expanding our capabilities and our reach. There's a lot of broadcast equipment, bandwidth costs, Podbean, Shoutcast, and so on, that all cost money. Plus, one of the goals we have is to get Radio Free Readout broadcast on shortwave radio as well. We know from recent lessons, when a government wants to crack down on the people, they go after the internet, either limiting the internet or disrupting it or shutting it down altogether. So we want to continue to be a voice of encouragement and information throughout the American Readout if and when a societal collapse or some other Teotihuacan event occurs. And I thought, I'll collect aluminum cans if I have to, or do whatever it takes to keep expanding Radio Free Readout, because I believe so strongly in the American Readout concept and the movement. I thought about ways to monetize the blog so people could send in donations if they wanted, but that just feels strange to me. I don't know. It's just me, but I know people are struggling financially. And I also know that most of you are trying to get prepared and stored up yourselves. There's a lot to do and it takes money, and that's what you should be doing. Last week, a listener wrote in to me suggesting that we set up a way for people to financially support us. And after some correspondence and a lot of patience on this person's part, thank you again, we ended up setting up a Google checkout donation feature here at Radio Free Readout on the blog. And I'm thinking, if someone sends in 10 bucks 1 week, someone sends in $5, $10, $20 a couple weeks later, that'll really help cover some of the costs. Either to the Shoutcast or the Podbean bill. But then right away, we had listeners supporting us with financial donations. And one listener in particular gave much more than I expected to see, not in the first 48 hours and not at once. And I can't tell you how moved I was, how humbled I felt. Sometimes it doesn't really hit you, the impact that you have on others, the effect that you can have on other people, and And then people you don't even know stand up and say, we support what you're doing. And they want to see you succeed. And then the letters of encouragement and support start coming in. And now when people start making donations to support Radio Free Redoubt, it's, I don't even know how to describe it. I feel kind of embarrassed. No one's ever sent money to me for my thoughts and opinions. And as I was working on the show today, getting the outlines and sound bites together, I started panicking. It's not good enough. I don't like it. It's not good enough. And my wife scolded me, sort of. She said, they like what you're doing and they want to support Radio Free Redoubt. They agree with your message and they want you to keep saying it. They're supporting what you're doing. So don't change it. You're improving all the time and making Radio Free Redoubt better. Just keep doing what you're doing and be thankful when they support you. She's so right. She's awesome. So I calmed down. That is, until I was messing with my outline and my notes and all my research material and forgot to hit save as and hit save instead and wiped out all my notes and references and outline for segment 3. Then I went into panic mode again. What a day. Anyway, well, speaking of today, I want to hear back from any of you who went to the Preparedness Expo in over at Spokane today. Love to hear your feedback. Just send us an email. Anyway, I just want to say this. Thank you so much for those of you who made donations to support Radio Free Redoubt. That is really an unexpected blessing, and we're all humbled by your support. It really does help. And I wanted to also say thank you for trusting us that much. You have my word that we will always make financial decisions only after praying about it. And we will always be good stewards with it, and always and only use those funds for advancing the American Redoubt and Radio Free Redoubt as a project. Very moving. And may you be very richly blessed for it. I cringe when people start asking for money. I know how many of you feel about that. I feel the same way. But for those of you who wish to help out financially, we do have financial costs and future growth. It's gonna cost. And we've provided a way for you to do that if you want to do that. And even $10 or $20 is a huge help. But we don't want it if your pantry isn't full. You store up food, medicine, ammo, and everything else you need first, please. The most important thing that any of you can give us is prayer. You do that and everything else will fall into place. I believe that. Like I said, we have a ton of stuff to cover, even though I deleted all my research material for segment 3. So the news and commentary is going to be shorter than usual. Hey, I see how you are. Okay, first off, House considers creation of religious freedom envoy in the Middle East and Asia. The House is on the verge of voting to create a new diplomatic post charged with defending religious freedom overseas following a string of attacks against religious minorities in the turbulent Middle East and beyond. Among the countries specifically listed in which they wish to combat religious discrimination, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, and Libya. Nice start, but we'll see how effective it really is. Notice, though, China is not on the list. Probably because we want to kiss up to them since they're preparing to invade us and we owe them so much money that we can't afford to pay back. Don't want to speed things up too much. Don't believe China's preparing for war with us? Well, the USA Today was all too pleased to run a front page headline piece titled China's Military Flexes Its Muscle. The article includes a lot of revealing, although not surprising, intel on their growing capabilities. It states that for 2 decades, China has been adding large numbers of warships, submarines, fighter jets, and more significantly, developing offensive missiles capable of knocking out U.S. stealth aircraft and the biggest U.S. naval ships, including aircraft carriers. They've also announced that its territorial waters now extend hundreds of miles beyond its shores, well beyond what its neighbors and the United States consider international waters. One spokesman from the Air Force said of China, China's offensive capability will be steadily growing for the next decade, By the end of this decade, we really just can't count on fending off the blows. They will be able to deliver ballistic and cruise missile attacks, close quote. I hate that you have to hear it from me, folks, but we will be attacked by China in the future. Just makes you want to run out and buy another case of ammo or two. And they want to give them a beachhead in Idaho to make a buck. Have you contacted your elected representatives on that yet? I hope so. And for those of you who missed it, go back and listen to the show titled China's Trojan Horse. Now, I don't have enough time to get through all the news like I was hoping to, but check out those stories and the links on the highlights and resources posting on the blog for this week. One story, though, before I move on real quick. This was sent in by a listener just today. Thank you for alerting us to this. Just last Thursday, July 28th, a House panel approved a bill broadening law enforcement capabilities of snooping into your ISP information. ISP, of course, stands for Internet Service Provider or Internet Service Protocol. So internet providers would be forced to keep logs of your customers' activities for 1 year. Hold on. Were you not listening? Okay, you're daydreaming. Let me read that again. So internet providers would be forced to keep logs of you and your activities on the internet for 1 year in case police want to review them in the future under legislation that a U.S. House of Representatives committee approved today, the report states. Go back and read that story in its entirety when you get a chance. This smells like Stasi to me. One thing you can do for internet anonymity is using a proxy or a proxy server. I'm not a computer geek or anything, but we use proxify.com a lot, and that helps keep you anonymous. It won't help with this piece of legislation, what they're trying to do, but it keeps you anonymous as you surf the web. Of course, that'll mess us up if you use it, because it'll show that we have a listener in the United States. It won't show your city and state. And we like to see where people are listening from. And that's all it gives us. It just says city, state. And so, if you use a proxy, we'll understand. We'll still love you anyway. Okay, right after a quick break, we're going to talk about the system that's being put in place right now to create a nation of informants. It's a mechanism to support the police state that's coming. So stay with us. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. We'll be right back.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
Samuel Adams said, "If you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contests of freedom, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you are our countrymen." These bold words were a scathing rebuke against his fellow countrymen, who preferred to let tyranny prevail for a few handouts from the crown. I echo Mr. Adams' timeless sentiments. Sadly, today, we are once again surrounded by fellow countrymen who have lost their will to continue in the contest of freedom and have determined to become slaves for the tranquil lives they hold more dear than the liberty they've squandered. And as an American, I struggle to call them my countrymen. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Welcome back from the break. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and you are tuned in to Radio Free Readout on Sunday evening, July 31st, 2011. Like I said, I want to jump right into this with both feet because we've got a lot of territory to cover, so we can get it crammed into three shows. This week, of course, being the second show in the series, I'm talking about the topic of the police state and martial law. They are not the same thing, but they do tend to blur together, so it's difficult to delve into one and not the other. Now, I know many of you are up on a lot of this and may not be learning anything new, but hopefully we're able to bring some things to your attention that maybe you haven't heard. But really, specifically, I want to approach the topic from a different angle than what you may have heard in the past. We're coming at this from a point of view as citizens living in the American Redoubt. The American Redoubt movement is an ideological, theological, and political demographic shift, or rather a building up of like-minded, conservative, God-fearing American patriots into a geographic region to better increase the chances of preserving our American ideals and heritage that we see rapidly eroding across the rest of our once great nation. I hear some people say, America is still a great nation. And I say, compared to what? Maybe the America that's in your heart is a great nation, but you hold up what America used to be and what it was intended to be next to the America of today, you'll see two completely different countries. They are not the same. Whatever you can find great about the America of today, you're seeing the remaining remnants of what made our country so great and so powerful. And those remnants are hanging on by a thread, and they're disappearing before our eyes. If you're honest in your heart, you know that I'm speaking the truth. And it breaks my heart that I can say those things knowing that it's true. And that's why the American Redoubt movement is taking root. And right now it's just a little sprout, a little bud that just surfaced. The seed was planted by James Rawls. And the mission of Radio Free Redoubt is to cultivate it until it bears fruit. Because based on all appearances and evidence and what our understanding of history and human nature tells us, there are people who are doing everything they can, both intentionally and unwittingly, to destroy the Republic of the United States. And those people are using many different tools to do that. And what we're seeing unfold, combined with what we know from history, reveals a pattern with a predictable outcome if we allow it. How did tyranny take hold in the past? One of two ways, almost always. It made an abrupt appearance as the solution to a people's misfortune, where the people begged for it at first, or it crept in gradually when the citizens were distracted, looking the other way. And then once the people realized they were in trouble, it was too late. Some people tried to resist while others went along with it. Hey, if you can't beat them, may as well join them, eh? Well, John Jacob Schmidt, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about when you realize the government that was your servant, somehow at some point you can't even identify, became the master, and one at which it can't even resist its own natural instinct, which is to dominate and control and to confront and destroy anything it perceives as a threat. Yeah, but that's history. I mean, you're talking like really old history. Like Stalin or Hitler or Cold War communism and that kind of stuff, right? You couldn't even draw a comparison between the U.S. and them, right? Wrong. In fact, the parallels are what's so alarming. And all these examples, and so many more we haven't even mentioned, are frighteningly similar to the machine that's being built up today right here in America. Now, I gave you all a homework assignment. Those three video series that are posted on week 8 highlights and resources page from last week. You watched them, right? Because they covered the East German Stasi. They covered the Nazi Gestapo and the secret police under Stalin, which was the Cheka and then the NKVD. And of course, then it was the predecessor to the Soviet KGB, their secret police and intelligence system. All three of these, and like I said, many, many more that I haven't even mentioned, used several tactics to gain and maintain control over the populace, always for their own good or for keeping people safe, always in the name of security. Now, one of the ways they did this is through wide and deep informant networks. First of all, the secret police or the police state expended incredible amounts of resources in manpower and money to develop and maintain surveillance systems. And they had thousands and thousands of people working for them. In 1989, at the time of the Berlin Wall fell, the East German Communist Secret Police, the Stasi, had 91,015 people working for them. That includes 2,000 fully employed unofficial collaborators, over 15,000 soldiers and officers in the army. In addition to that, they had over 173,000 unofficial informants inside East Germany. Now, those figures are from official records, but check this out. It's estimated, because so many records were destroyed, that the true number is about 500,000 Stasi informants. A former Stasi colonel who served in the counterintelligence directorate estimated the figure could be as high as 2 million if they also included occasional informants. And the Nazi Gestapo and the Soviet Cheka, or NKVD, were just as far-reaching. And the Department of Homeland Security has ambitions of becoming so large as to dwarf those I just mentioned. You might argue that the United States couldn't even be compared to those evil regimes. Well, no, only because the system that's being systematically put in place right now isn't fully developed. We can look in the history books and see how those police states looked when they fully matured. But our history is still being written. What will the history books say about America in 50 or 60 years? Oh, what was that? Did I just hear somebody say that would never happen in America? Well, let's take a look. First of all, fighting terrorism is great, but you hopefully have been paying attention. Because if you have, you'll notice that the term terrorism or terrorist is heard with much less frequency today. The terminology is being replaced. It's replacing the word terrorism. It's morphing to things like domestic terrorism, and then shifts to domestic terror threat, then homegrown terror, then homegrown radicalization, which can encompass anything if you wish to interpret it just right. And homegrown extremism was next, and then finally right where they wanted it all to end up, right-wing extremism. And like we talked about last week, that encompasses many, many groups of people. If you support Chuck Baldwin or Ron Paul, if you promote liberty or what they call being a libertarian, if you promote the Constitution, homeschooling, teachings of the Founding Fathers, if you're opposed to abortion or gun control measures, if you support protecting your borders and reject the globalist agenda of dissolving the borders, you just might be a homegrown right-wing terrorist extremist. Or at least you have the strong potential to become one and need to be watched. How in the world did we come to the point in our country where you could be investigated for promoting terrorism and espionage because you told a group of Boy Scouts to defend the Constitution while they were taking a tour of your Bible college? Read it for yourself. It's right there on the highlights page, resources. All of this is included in our highlights and resources page. Everything that we talk about, it's there for you. We want you to be able to check us out, keep us accountable as well. But you need to be aware of this stuff, because patriotic Americans are being categorized as right-wing extremists, as being homegrown radicalized, or as being homegrown terrorists. In some way or another, you're being categorically marked in the mind's eye of some people as being a threat. You think this isn't heading down the same path as the secret police in communist East Germany? Listen to this clip from a documentary on the Stasi.
The Stasi classifies political opponents as hostile persons, hostile negative persons, and, as the most dangerous group, hardened hostile negative persons. These individuals are considered lost to East Germany and not reclaimable. They're subject to the strictest scrutiny to prevent public actions on their part.
That's the Stasi. They had labels to place on people who they considered a threat to the system. And they rolled up anyone who they even remotely suspected as being a nonconformist. According to the MIAC report, as well as many, many other documents, they're creating suspicion and demonizing anyone and everyone who opposes their agenda and stands for traditional American ideals and Judeo-Christian ideals. And they're sending out warnings of what they claim are acts that you could carry out. Not so much on what people do, it's what you have the potential to do based on your belief system. Listen to this clip.
Political criminal law pursues not so much actual acts as potential acts. The Stasi develops detailed criteria for determining when a suspicious individual may be investigated.
Is this sounding familiar? And you've heard me report on technology that the DHS is implementing to anticipate future crimes, like the so-called malintent detectors that we mentioned a few weeks ago, and the hiring of pre-crime behavioral specialists. That's a great one. They're looking for the threat before it happens. Wow, now that would be great until they start redefining what they consider a threat is. And anything you might believe that doesn't toe the line is a threat to them. That makes sense. Anything you might believe that doesn't toe the line is a threat to them. Don't be deceived into thinking humanity has somehow evolved into this refined, enlightened, utopian culture. The opposite is happening. Here's another one. Again, they're talking about the Stasi, one of the most oppressive secret police and citizen surveillance apparatuses ever to be implemented. Listen to this.
Categories of suspects for which the Stasi would initiate operative action, as they called it, were precisely defined in terms of what was of importance to the apparatus. Yet, when you peruse them from cover to cover, you'll find out that virtually everything was of interest. Often, you'll find those classifications used in the so-called hand files, files on citizens who were not under permanent scrutiny, but were being looked at for some particular cause. They included everything from spy and former party member, over non-voter, to volunteer firefighter. And the catch-all category that we once found at a local office was malcontent and chronic complainer. That classification cleared the way for any Stasi employee to open a file on someone.
Arrests were generally made in the early morning hours.
Malcontent and chronic complainer. In other words, if you speak up and show disapproval of the system. Play clip three.
The threat of imprisonment was always present. Without it, the apparatus could not have worked, not had the impact it did. But actually, the goal was to stop what were offenses to the party before they even took place, not to let them advance to the point of imprisonment, but nip them in the bud through disintegration measures and such, and likewise to sniff out every potential stirring of criticism, preferably before it was even thought of.
Does this sound familiar? It does if you've been doing your homework. If not, go through those links and videos in the highlights and resources page for this week, week 9. They're not just calling Islamic terrorists a threat anymore. In fact, when they talk about homegrown radicalization, they're not just talking about skinheads and neo-Nazis. The DHS has recently released a document from what they refer to as a reference aid from their Office of Intelligence and Analysis, titled Domestic Extremism Lexicon. What's on the list? Well, let's just take a look. It starts off with the following statement, prepared by the Strategic Analysis Group and the Extremism and Radicalization Branch, Homeland Environment Threat Analysis Division. Oh, lots of big words. Okay, right toward the top of the list is this one. This is unclassified, by the way. Alternative media, that is listed as one of the potential threats. Alternative media, a term used to describe various information sources that provide a forum for interpretations of events and issues that differ radically from those presented in mass media products and outlets. So John Jacob Schmidt and Radio Free Readout fall into this category right off the bat. I'm not off to a very good start with these guys. Okay, running down the list, let's see. They have anarchists, animal rights, anti-abortion extremism, anti-immigration extremism. Now, under that one, a movement of groups or individuals who are vehemently opposed to illegal immigration, particularly along the U.S. southwest border with Mexico, and who have been known to advocate or engage in criminal activity and plots of acts and violence, and terrorism to advance their extremist goals. Of course, volunteering to help a rancher patrol his property from nightly raids by drug dealers and human traffickers, who regularly shoot at the landowners, is planned violence and terrorism. These people are so delusional. Anyway, it also says they're highly critical of the U.S. government's response to illegal immigration and oppose government programs that are designed to extend rights to illegal aliens, such as issuing driver's licenses or national identification cards and providing in-state tuition, medical benefits, or public education. Am I the only one who feels like he's living in Alice in Wonderland? They just described 99.9% of our listening audience. Oh, but it gets better. Decentralized terrorist movement. That's a movement of groups or individuals who pursue shared ideological goals through tactics of leaderless resistance of independent of any larger terrorist organization. So if you share ideological goals with others and you're politically motivated, and you don't have a leader, then you, you're it. You're part of the leaderless resistance movement. Okay, here's one of the many vaguely written catch-all categories in the glossary that, for political expediency, could be applied to anyone they want to label a threat. And here it comes: extremist group. This is one of their categories. This is an ideologically driven organization that advocates or attempts to bring about political, religious, economic, or social change through the use of violence, force, or ideologically motivated criminal activity. So if they ban non-state approved churches or radio broadcasts, newspapers, or whatever, then doing those activities would be a crime, and then you'd fall into this category. Hate groups. It's a term most often used to describe white supremacist groups, but churches even focus on the family, or the American Family Association's been labeled as a hate group, right? Because of their opposition to the homosexual agenda. See how they're setting all this up to commingle all the groups into one classification. That classification being extremist. Anti-abortionists and anti-illegal immigration share the same list as neo-Nazis and anarchists. Oh, and another one. Jewish extremists. That's a good one. The militia movement precedes the neo-Nazis on that list as well. The militia movement is described as a right-wing extremist movement composed of groups or individuals who adhere to an anti-government ideology. That's a lie. Often incorporating various conspiracy theories. Members oppose most federal and state laws and regulations and authority. That's another lie. These people are liars. Here's one of my favorites. This is designed to demonize the Tea Party. Patriot movement, a term used by right-wing extremists to link their beliefs to those commonly associated with the American Revolution. The Patriot movement primarily comprises violent anti-government groups, more lies, such as militias and sovereign citizens. In brackets, it also lists Christian patriots, patriot group, constitutionalists, and constitutionists. This is happening in the United States of America, people. If you are an American patriot, you just made your government's list for domestic extremism and their lexicon for potential future terrorist activity. I'm reading it to you right out of a document produced and distributed by our own government. Radicalization, the process by which an individual adopts an extremist belief system leading to his or her willingness to advocate or bring out political, religious, or economic or social change through the use of force, violence, or ideologically motivated criminal activity. Again, they can deem anything to be a crime. And with the stroke of a pen, you meet this criteria. Here's another one that fits 99.99% of all of our American listening audience. Right-wing extremism. It's a movement of right-wing groups or individuals who can be broadly divided into those who are primarily hate-oriented. Any of you opposed to gays in the military, homosexual marriage, illegal immigration? You haters. Oh, And those who are mainly anti-government, more lies, and reject federal authority in favor of state or local authority. Oh, wow. You reject federal authority in favor of state or local authority. So in other words, if you refer to the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, this description fits our founding fathers and you and me. This falls right in line with the anti-federalists at the Constitutional Convention and who signed the Bill of Rights. And I'm proud to be placed in the same category as them. What an honor. Serious. Whoa, okay, here it is. In their own words, this term also may refer to right-wing extremist movements that are dedicated to a single issue, such as opposition to abortion or immigration. Wow. Okay, and of course, the list goes on to name several supremacist groups and violent racist groups, of course. And I read verbatim. This product is one in a series of reference aids designed to provide operational and intelligence advice and assistance to other elements of DHS, as well as state, local, and regional fusion centers. DHS INA intends this background information to assist federal, state, local, and tribal homeland security and law enforcement officials in conducting analytic activities. So this is a tool to help them analyze what is a threat. So where do all these so-called analysts come from? Where do they come up with these names and descriptions? And since the Department of Homeland Security was conceived and born in response to 9/11, when we were attacked by Islamic extremists, why is their focus shifting from Islamic terrorists to American citizens as the high priority target of attention and scrutiny? Patriotic, God-fearing American citizens are now being demonized, categorically listed as potential terrorists, labeled as extremists, and the systems being put in place right now to criminalize their actions and their supposed future potential for terrorism using so-called pre-crime detection agents and software, all by creating or manipulating words and laws. I mean, where did they get the ideas for doing this? Did they get their hands on a Stasi manual or a KGB manual? Well, better than that, they hired the men who wrote the manual and applied it. You think I'm making this stuff up? The Department of Homeland Security hired the former East German Stasi chief. And right after the break, we're going to talk about that. And you heard about it on Radio Free Readout. I'm telling you, something wicked this way comes.
Welcome, and thanks for listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout, the emerging safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-loving American patriots. Hello, this is Anya. I invite you to join us by tuning in right here from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mountain, where you can listen to Radio Free Readout's weekly one-hour live radio broadcast hosted by John Jacob Schmidt every Sunday evening. If we're broadcasting live, the Stream Monster player will begin playing automatically. If it doesn't, hit your refresh button. If you happen to miss the live broadcast, you can scroll through the list of previous broadcasts located to the right on the blog and listen to them using the Podbean player. With the Podbean player, you can listen 24 hours a day or download the files or embed the podcast file in your own blog, website, or social networking site such as Facebook so you can share with your own audience. Again, thanks for listening. God bless. In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Readout blog to learn more. You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this.
Okay, Remember I was talking about the segment where I wiped out my outline and notes? Well, here we are. I threw it all back together, and so you're going to have to bear with me. You with me? All right, we'll get through this together. Before the break, I mentioned that DHS hired people who previously headed the Stasi and KGB secret police organizations. Well, scratch the KGB. That's a whole different story. That's another rabbit trail that might be able to get covered sometime down the road. But it's documented that they hired the former chief of the Stasi. Isn't that almost inconceivable? If someone opened up a new bank and on their advisory committee, they hired some former mafia accountants who specialized in hiding money and tax evasion, wouldn't that make you curious as to the intent of the banker who hired them? Now, if you want to control the masses and implement a police state, who could you go to? Well, the best oppressors with the most experience at terrorizing people. You'd want to hire people who are second to none experts in their field. If you want to see the direction the leadership wants to take an organization, you look at the philosophies, the methods, and the past performance histories of the people they hire. In December of 2004 and January of 2005, a report was released by a political analyst, Al Martin, and reportedly confirmed by an unnamed congressman that the Department of Homeland Security hired former Stasi head Marcus Wolf as an advisor. What kind of skill sets does Herr Wolf possess that DHS could possibly be in need of? Well, according to this report, Martin says Wolf is the man that effectively built the East German State Intelligence Operations Internal Directorate. He also continues to say that Mr. Wolf turned half the population into informants. That is his specialty, is taking a population, constructing the various state divisions, mechanisms of control, in order to organize informants within the population. That is his real specialty. Wolf's specialty was to turn East Germany into the greatest and most efficient informant state ever created. I haven't been able to check on the reliability of this source, but it's reported in several places. And what the DHS is doing, from the Mall of America to Walmart with their See Something, Say Something campaign, seems very Stasi-esque. The DHS several years ago wanted a program called TIPS, which stood for Terrorism Information and Prevention System, and would have trained as many as one in every 24 Americans in spotting and reporting so-called suspicious activity. But it was shot down by Congress, supposedly. Now, since then, two new programs have emerged called Highway Watch and the TLO program, or Terrorism Liaison Officer program. These programs are training tens of thousands of truck drivers, bus drivers, construction workers, utility workers, garbage collectors, firefighters, police officers, toll booth operators, and on, how to spot and report anything suspicious. Of course, with the ever-shifting definitions of terrorism to include homegrown terrorism, homegrown radicalization, or right-wing extremism, it gets very vague as to what the heck they're supposed to be reporting. Because the way things are going, you could be doing your patriotic duty for calling in when you see a car with a Gadsden flag on it. But we're seeing the conditioning process right now and the mechanism being put in place for the police state, a nation of informants. And what is our nation mostly comprised of, demographically, religiously? Well, approximately 70% or more of Americans identify themselves as Christians. And we know that most of them, revolutionary types, you know, like Tea Partiers and the like, are Christians. How can we get them under control? Hopefully, we can get ahead of the curve on that one. Remember the sound clip that I played in the last segment, the one that talked about sniffing out opposition, especially nipping it in the bud, especially even before it starts as a thought? How can you do that? You need to tell them what to think. But who will they listen to? They'll listen to their pastors. Yeah, let's do that. We'll listen to what the pastors have to say. Some of them anyway. And not all pastors are pacifists. Don't get me wrong. There are some real godly men out there that are real men. Do you think they'd really do this though? Well, it's already been done. Here's a clip from a pastor right after Hurricane Katrina.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Yeah, let's just go along with it and sort it all out when it's over. That was during Hurricane Katrina, a temporary event, thank God. But then someone said, hey, I got an idea. Let's get these guys to tell their congregations to just be good little meek taxpayers. Good little obedient followers and just do what they're told. These homeschooling, constitution-quoting, Bible-hugging, homegrown radicals won't listen to us. Let's get their preachers to do the dirty work for us, because if there's a noose around the neck of our clergy, it's their 501(c) tax-exempt status. And the last thing a preacher wants, especially in this economy, is to lose their tax-exempt status for not towing the line. That is being used in leverage to control what's coming from the pulpit on politics, gay marriage, and so on. Don't think they won't use it when it comes to talking believers into doing whatever the nice man with the machine gun says. Get on the truck. Get on the cattle car. Turn in your guns, knives, Leathermans, etc. Just put them in the amnesty box right over there. It's all part of the in-processing before we can let you go into the relief center where we have a hot bowl of soup waiting for you and your family. Sorry, women over there, men through that gate. Don't worry, you'll be reunited later. But how are they going to get the clergy to convince all the people to go along with this? Well, that book over there on the shelf that you dust off once a week, your own Bible.
For the clergy, one of the biggest tools that they will have in helping calm the public down or obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans, Romans 13.
Because the government is established by the Lord, you know, and that's what we believe in the Christian faith. That's what's stated in the scripture.
That's right. The Word of God. Let me tell you something. When you have a government and the slipstream media telling you your Bible is full of hate and intolerance because it says homosexuality is a sin and it says that Jesus is the only way to the Father, and those scriptures are just for the weak-minded and the superstitious, and then they conveniently attempt to manipulate you into submitting to them because the Bible says so, danger. When the only time they refer to the Word of God is to convince you to accept evil oppression, globalism, and tyranny, look out. Keep in mind, Satan knows the scripture better than you. And don't think for a minute that the people in the world carrying out his plan won't feel inspired to use the Word of God out of context to manipulate you. Do not fall for it. If you're new, and especially if you're a pastor, go back and listen to week 6, titled The Church. You listen to that. That's where I stand on the issue, and that's where probably 100% of our listeners stand on the issue. And a huge percentage of you parishioners feel the same way. All of you need to listen to that one. And my views on that topic are not up for debate. It's one of my hot buttons, as most of you know. But that Hurricane Katrina deal was an isolated incident, right? I mean, they don't actually have a plan to have our pastors go around telling their congregations to just go along with anything, are they? Yep, it's happening right now. If you're not convinced, take a listen to this pastor, a patriot, who attended a FEMA conference and a workshop for pastors and chaplains. He went on to the Alex Jones show because he wanted to get the word out to people and let them know what's going on. Take a listen.
That was wonderful stuff when they started out, but it immediately turned into this is for a natural disaster, a tornado, flood, or any act of bioterrorism, or a nationally declared emergency. And so I lit up to that one, and the spokesperson there was from the state FEMA office, who also was the trainer for pastors in their training program for pastors. He said, your job, pastors, is to get to your congregations and preach to them Romans 13. And that's the part that says you obey the higher powers. And he was saying you have to teach them to obey their governments.
By the way, Hitler did that. He had a core of preachers that preached Romans 13 out of context.
Yes, he did. And this is what he wanted us to do. And so he's telling us that. He's telling us, and the thing that really got us started on this, and when I started contacting people, is when he said the problem with local enforcement of a federal or state mandate that is quarantine or relocation, and these are the terms he used, or a declaration of martial law based on whatever disaster it might be.
He said martial law. Let's be clear.
Yes, he did. And he said if it goes the distance, the problem is all along the way, is this so-called cowboy mentality, and you pastors are going to have to learn to quell that cowboy mentality. And so I asked him what he meant. He said, you know, the individualistic effort that stands up and said, this is my property, you'll pry guns from my cold, dead hand kind of thing. And everybody laughed. There were only about six people there. And he said, we're talking about law enforcement. That's a law enforcement issue. We're talking about you pastors going there because you know the people, you all are trusted, and you'll be preaching this ahead of time. You can stand in the neighborhoods and tell people this is for their own good.
And Alex Jones is right. That's exactly what Hitler did. And once they got the church leaders to convince everyone to just go along with it, and that we'll sort all this out when the crisis is over, then the preachers turned around, only to realize that they themselves were looking down the barrel of a gun. You're next. On the train. Let's go. What? But I was helping you. You sure were. And the blood of those people is on your hands. There were other people who were caught up in that conundrum. People who were in positions of influence and even authority. Police officers. I'd like to ask you to stick around for just a few more minutes, because right after a short break, I'm going to talk about what we have in store for next week's show. And we're going to start wrapping things up, and I'll tell you why. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt.
Don't forget to check out the videos page, found by clicking on the videos tab on the blog. You'll find useful and informative videos about our American heritage, as well as issues of today. Also, if you feel led, please financially support the organizations and ministries that produce the videos so they can continue keeping us informed.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
It's been so great having you with us tonight. Thank you once again. Sometimes I feel like a voice in the wilderness shouting from the mountaintops, but I know I'm not alone. I know that so many of you out there feel what I'm feeling as a patriot living in an America that's not the same country we fell in love with. Our nation's under assault, and it's time for you, God-fearing patriots, to make your move to the American Redoubt, the safe haven and refuge where, Lord willing, we'll be able to preserve the spirit of America and our Judeo-Christian values and our beliefs within the amount of mountain states of the inland Pacific Northwest. My beloved friends and fellow countrymen, my brothers and sisters in law enforcement, most of you are already aware of the battle that's taking place. You feel it. An internal struggle, a spiritual battle, a tug of war inside of you that drives you to want to stand up against evil and be the thin blue line between we, the citizens, and the predatory criminals that live among us. You're sheepdogs. You're protectors. It's not something you learned and something you became. It's what you are. It's how God hardwired you. But your superiors are rewriting the playbook, and they're defining what criminal and extremist and even potential terrorist means. And you're caught up in the middle of it. I was hoping to get to it this week, but there's just so much information to get through. I wanted to dedicate the better part of a whole broadcast to the subject because I think it's that important. So that's what we're going to do next week. Now that we have a lot more of the American informant message covered, at least it was a great introduction. Remember, nearly everything we cover in our broadcast, we'll be revisiting in the future. And coming back to those topics, not just bringing awareness and informing, but also equipping you all with practical action plans. I always want to include something that you can walk away with something you can do about it. It gets frustrating, I know, when you become aware of something big and important and relevant to you and don't know what to do about it. So there we are. That's what I'll be doing for you as citizens next week. As clergy, as police officers, and military personnel. If you're an American patriot, then please join us next week for an important, relevant, and powerful message. I don't mean to be just stringing you all along. I'm really trying to get through all this. It's not like on the news when they throw out a teaser like, man mutilated by pit bull. Watch the exclusive graphic footage coming up on the news 10 at 10. And then they drag it out for the next hour. And then they end up just showing you a little 7-second cell phone video blur thing with a dog barking and a man running. And so I hate that when they do that. No, it's just that I really want to approach the subject in an organized manner that flows well. And the next step in that flow brings us to how our police are being manipulated into becoming tools for the next Stasi, including our military. And you agents out there, whether you're FBI, Homeland Security, a GS, contractor, analysts, whatever, you listen too, because I have a message for you next week as well. All right. I want to remind you all that you can listen to all of our previous broadcasts on the Podbean player, located on the right side of the blog. Just scroll down about halfway down the blog, and if you'd like to download any or all of our previous shows, you can just click on the little icon there that says website right next to it, and that will take you to radiofreereadout.podbean.com. Next to each episode, just click where it says download and follow the very simple instructions so that you can download it to your portable MP3 player and listen throughout the week. Don't forget to rate the show, if you would, and 1 through 5 stars, and feel free to leave comments. Let us know how you like that particular show. Now, right after tonight's broadcast, we'll be airing another nostalgic episode of intense communist eluding spy versus spy broadcasting from I Was a Communist for the FBI. This week's show titled Where the Red Men Roam. Sorry about that. I hit my mic. This week's show titled Where the Red Men Roam. I hope you enjoy it. Then in about 28 minutes from now, we'll be re-airing the broadcast that you just heard in case you missed any of it. Once again, thank you so very much for all of your encouragement, your financial support, and especially your prayers. Remember to pray for our leaders, for wisdom and guidance, and for our nation, for protection from the plans laid by evil men. Please remember to stay in the Word yourselves and pray for wisdom as you prepare yourself and your family for the difficult times coming to our nation. I'm John Jacob Schmidt at Radio Free Readout. Until we meet again next Sunday evening, have a great week and good night.